This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, great. Parshas Baaloska, everybody. We're going to talk about something that I really started 2 years ago, dealing with Yoshua's conversation with Moshe Rabbeinu in the middle of the Parsha. There are two times in the Torah where Yoshua speaks up and says something. One is when Bnei Yisrael did the Egel Azov, and he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says, I call Melchama Vamach, and I hear a voice of war in the camp. And one is right over here, where Vayan Yoshua ben Nun Mishoris Moshe, Yoshua the son of Nun, Mishoris Moshe, the servant of Moshe, Mibachura, from those who were, I guess, the younger ones, the younger students that he had, by Yomar, and he said, Adoni Moshe Kla'im, my master Moshe, destroy them. What happened? Eldad and Medad were two of the 72 chosen people from Klal Yisrael. They all had little kluffim. They had to write down their names, and they were chosen to be part of the Sanhedrin of Klal Yisrael. There were 70 altogether. You had six from every shevet. If you have 70 altogether and you have six from every shevet, well, obviously you come out with 72. Two of them were extra. The two that were extra over here were Eldad and Medad. Those were the two people that ended up being there. So after they had been unchosen, it turned out that they were really special people. Difference in Chazal, Midrashe Chazal. Some say that Eldad and Medad were among the 70, but were so humbled they didn't want anyone else to feel like they were left out. So they purposely hid and didn't come in. They didn't want to be involved whatsoever. They purposely went to the side. And because of that, they were zocheh to have a prophecy. And they got up and they prophesied. What did they prophesy about? We spoke about that years ago. Possibly they said, Moshe meis Yoshua machnas. Moshe is going to die. Yoshua is going to bring all Bnei Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe meis Yoshua machnas. When Yoshua heard that, knowing that he was the one involved, he was going to bring them into Eretz Yisrael, he said, Adoni Moshe, my master Moshe kla'im, get rid of them, destroy them. I don't want them around. I can't believe they're saying that about you, that you're going to die. I can't believe they're saying that about me. Kla'im, please destroy them. Rashi says, what does the word kla'im mean? Rashi says, Kla'im means give them tzorchei tzibur. Put them in charge of things. Make them people in charge of this and that and the other thing throughout the land. Put them in charge of things so that they would wither and die on their own. Because this is what happens when you work for a community and you do thankless work. Anybody knows this. You work for a community, you work for a shul, no one thanks you, no one knows that you did anything. At the end of the day, you feel like you did absolutely nothing. You feel like you're completely gone. It's like a slow, painful death. So Yeshua said, just kla'im, give them tzorchei tzibur and allow it to be their punishment. But that's a strange punishment, isn't it? What a strange thing to say. Make them gabai. Make them gabai. That's the greatest thing that you could do. They prophesied, so just make them gabai of a shul and everything will be fine. So what does that mean? Sifsei Chachamim says Yeshua was not asking for them to be killed. He wanted them to stop having nevuos, so they wouldn't have any more nevuos. This was a horrible nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to die. Nobody wants that nevuah. They said the way to get rid of that, the way to make sure that that doesn't happen, is the only way the Shekhinah comes upon a person, the only way that a person could be a Navi, is if they're happy, is if they're all good, everything's happening in his life, and he's happy, he's able to be besimcha at all times, he's able to concentrate and have his bodidus. If he's working for the tzibur and bad things are happening, he won't be able to be happy. If he's not going to be able to be happy, he won't be able to get a nevuah. Says Yoshua, that's what you should do to Eldad and Medad. Make sure that they're working for the tzibur, that they're not besimcha. And if they're not besimcha, then exactly, you won't have to worry about them being Nevi'im in the first place. People won't even believe this nevuah because they'll be like, oh, those guys are not Nevi'im. And they'll forget about that first nevuah that happened over there. Targum Yonasan says exactly that. V'kali minhon ruach nevuasa. Get rid of them. Get rid from them any ruach nevuah that they might have over there. Tosefes Bracha says, there may be a smach to this. When Chizkiyahu tells Yeshayahu tells him, you're going to die. Chizkiyahu HaMelech turns to Yeshaya and says, Kalei nevuaska v'tzei. Kalei nevuaska. End your nevuah and get out of here. That's kla'im. He was saying the same thing. The idea is stop your nevuah. The way to stop a nevuah is kla'im. That would be the idea behind it. That's how the Tosefes Bracha puts it. The Ksam Sofer, Ksav Sofer, the Ksam Sofer's son says, this is a brilliant plan of Yoshua. People know the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and the other Eldad and Medad. So you know what he did? He said, look at you, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was in charge of the people and he only became greater. Because the truth is, when a person is great, you put them in charge of something and you make them a gabbai of a shul, they become better people. Normally, people end up going down because of it. People do not do well when they have Tzorchei Tzibur on them. But great people become even greater. Great people become even greater people. And look at you, Moshe Rabbeinu. You got Tzorchei Tzibur, and you're still becoming great. They're going to see that difference between you and them. You put Eldon Amedad in Tzorchei Tzibur, you'll see that they'll start to wither and go down. You keep raising yourself up, they'll see the difference between your Nevuah and their Nevuah. Nobody will equate the two. Because that was a problem. When you had Nevi'im all over the place, and people were prophesying all over the place, how could you tell the difference between someone like a Moshe Rabbeinu and someone like Eldon Amedad? Was there a difference? The answer is, yeah, of course there was. But how did you know? The answer is just this. Look at what happens when you put them in charge of other things. Says Ksav Sofer, that was the plan. Kla'im. Try to get rid of them in such a way. That was the idea. There was an example that the Chavetz Chaim gives. His son, Reb Leib, one of the sons of the Chavetz Chaim, he was in charge of some of the tzedakah that was going around there. He ended up marrying into a wealthy family, and he went to a certain city where it was small, but there was a lot of things to be done. So he got a big dowry. So he decided with his dowry, he was going to take Meisr off, and he was going to take that Meisr, and he's going to use it toward the city. So he went around and he asked, what does the city need? But the city needed everything. The shul needed to be revamped. The mikvah had to be redone. The Sifrei Torah needed to be fixed. There were so many things that needed to be done. So he started working for the city, and instead of learning all day, which was his father had always wanted him to do, and his father-in-law had wanted him to do, he started being in charge of his own tzedakah organization. We had enough money to give toward all the tzedakah, but he had to take care of everything. He had to fix the Sifrei Torah, fix the shuls, make sure things were going well, and one after the other, and he was spending all of his time doing it. The Chavetz Chaim said to his son, he said, I'm no stranger to chesed. I also know what it means to be a Baal chesed. But if I don't know when to stop, then the Gemilas Chesed is going to take over your whole life. You won't be able to do anything else. You can't let that happen. You can't let Chesed rule over your life where you're not able to do anything else in your life. And that's the concept. That's the concept, says the Chafetz Chaim over here, about what it means by give them Tzorchei Tzibur. You don't have a life. It's almost like you can't do anything else. There's no way to do anything else. There's a second pshat. Rashi says that Kla'im does not mean destroy them, does not mean Tzorchei Tzibur. It means put them in jail. The word for jail is Beis Hakela. To put them in jail and allow them to go into jail. For what they were saying, it sounded like it was a rebellion against the great leader Moshe Rabbeinu, that he's going to die and Yeshua is going to bring them in. That sounds like merit, like a rebellion against Moshe. Throw them into jail. Targum Unklus says this as well. It says, Asar Nun. Tie them up, get rid of them completely on the Rashbam as well. The Be'er Basada says the reason why he wanted them in jail is to clarify. Is this a true Nevuah or not? Are they saying the truth or are they not saying the truth? Says the Be'er Basada, lock them up and let's see what happens. Let's see what happens in another couple days, another couple weeks. Is Moshe Rabbeinu going to die? If he dies, then we'll know they told the truth. We'll take him out of jail. And if he doesn't, then we're not going to take him out. We're going to leave him in jail forever. And that's what Yeshua wanted. Put them in jail to see if they were faking it or not. The Panim Yafo says this has to be because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have the status of a king, which is really weird because everybody else says that Moshe Rabbeinu for sure had the status of a king. I think everybody would agree. If I would say, was Moshe Rabbeinu the king of Klal Yisrael, you'd say, of course, he's the Melech. But according to the Panim Yafo, he was Mochel on his own kavod, and he said, don't worry about it to Yoshua. Who cares if they're prophesying? So it shows he could be Mochel on his kavod. So he says, it must be that the jail was just the chshad for Nevi'ei Sheker, since you're supposed to wait and see what's going to happen with them. There's no other way to go through it. It's an unbelievable Panim Yafos, but it goes against almost everything over there. The Chizkuni says he didn't want them in jail. He wanted them in their house. Give them house arrest. Don't let them come out. Because if you let them come out, maybe they'll tell this Nevuah to other people. Now that they're inside their house, they'll stay inside their house. Nobody will hear about it. Maybe that's the easiest way. So that's our second shot for Kla'im over here. Meshach Hoffman says it was never jail. What do you want to do if you want to get somebody to stop talking? You don't want anybody to listen to them. You could kill them, but that's a little bit extreme. Go a little less extreme. What do you want to do? You got Judaism over here. You got Moed Cut in Third Parak. What would you do if you wanted to make sure nobody is going to hear about this ever again? It's never going to be found out about. Nidui or Cherem. You throw the guy and excommunicate him. If you excommunicate a guy, no one's going to hear from him ever again. So when he said Kla'im, Yeshua said Kla'im, he was not saying throw them in jail. He wasn't even giving them house arrest. According to the Meshach Chokmah, he's saying give them Nidui. Now, Yeshua could do that. But there's halacha. Did you know this? If a rabbi puts somebody in cherem, then everybody has to hold of it. All of his talmidim have to hold of that nidui, that cherem, and they can't go near that guy. They can't be near. They can't have part of the minyan, etc. If the Talmud puts him in nidui, if the Talmud puts him in cherem, then only the Talmud holds of it, but the Rebbe doesn't. Meaning, the Rebbe doesn't have to hold of it. He doesn't want to. He can say, like, I don't really care. It doesn't make a difference to me. My Talmud put them in Cherem, but I didn't. Said Yoshua, Kla'im Moshe, I can put them in Nidoy, but I'm just the Talmud. So it's not going to work that well. But you do it, then everybody's going to have to listen, and everybody will follow it, and that'll be more, that'll be special. That'll be something that'll be there, says the Meshech HaKma, that's what he was trying to do. But again, Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, we don't need it whatsoever. There is a Rashi over here, there's another pshat, which says by Parshas HaMolek, which is actually the idea of Mo Rabcha Kamori Shamayim, he told them that they're Chayiv Misa, they're Chayiv Kliya for rebelling against Moshe Rabbeinu, they're actually Chayiv to be killed. But that takes something over here. The Sforno says they should be killed. That Klaim literally is kill them. Take them out back and cut their heads off. Now why? What was it? The rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu? Was that the idea behind it? So the Sforno says it sounds like they were lying. It sounds like they were Nevi'ei Sheker. You had 70 men that went with Moshe Rabbeinu to the Ohel Moed. Moshe Rabbeinu stood in front of the Ohel Moed and gave, so to speak, of his Nevuah to them. So all 70 were prophesying together with Moshe Rabbeinu. You had 71 people together in front of the Ohel Moed prophesying and giving over Nevuos. And they had two guys who were sitting on the side right by their tents who also had a Nevuah. Said Yoshua, Moshe, there's no way they're telling the truth. There's no way that's the MS. They're for sure faking it. Go look at them right now. Everybody else who's special is right over there. And these two guys are randomly getting up and said, we got a Nevuah. Moshe Mason, Yoshua is going to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe, claim, get rid of them. There's no way. But Moshe, out of his anivus and his humility, right, could not do so. And the truth is, it was Eldon and Medad out of their humility. Their anivus is what caused them to get the Nevuah in the first place. They didn't want to go to the middle of the tent, but they had a chiyuv to tell over the Nevuah that they got. So even though they got it over there, away from everybody else, it was done on purpose because they were such humble people, they didn't need to do it in public in front of everybody else, and therefore they were over there. It sort of was a mistake Yeshua didn't realize when it went down over here. The Ramban in his first pshat looks and says, there's no way he wanted them to be killed. It doesn't make any sense. Yoshua would want them to be killed for having a Nevuah? Why would he want that? Now, he didn't say that it's a fake Nevuah. He just assumed it's going to be real. Instead, he said, these guys are crazy. They're just nuts. You've heard crazy people say crazy things before. They think they have Nevuah, but they don't actually have Nevuah. Instead, Yoshua, just throw them in the crazy house. Sort of like a jail, right? Throw them in jail. Make them get house arrest. Just get rid of them because they're nuts. They're absolutely nuts. Look at what they're doing. They're pretending that they have Nevuah. That's the first pshat he gives. But then he says in the end, it does indicate from the Gemara that they were supposed to be killed because they were talking about the future in front of the Rebbe. You cannot do that. No matter what you do, you can never go into the future if your Rebbe doesn't say it first. Now, again, this is dealing with Nevuah. This is not dealing with, like, regular people. When it comes to Nevi'im, the Nevi'im cannot speak about something that the Rebbe hadn't said before. Now, this is a really cool idea. Yirmiyahu HaNavi was alive. Yirmiyahu HaNavi was alive. And anytime they wanted something, they went to Yirmiyah. Yechezkel lived in Bavel. Yirmiyah lived in Eretz Yisrael. When they wanted something in Bavel, they went to Yechezkel. When they wanted something in Eretz Yisrael, they went to Yirmiyah. And Yirmiyah was by far the number one when it came to everything over here. He had Talmidim, Baruch ben Neriah was his famous Talmud. Ezra Sofer was the Talmud of Baruch ben Neriah. But Yirmiyahu HaNavi was the guy that everybody went to. So when you wanted to know something, you went to him. When they found the Sefer Torah, and Yoshia found the Sefer Torah, and they didn't know what to do with it. So they went to Huldah, and they asked her, what do we do with this? And she told them, it's going to be horrible for the Jews, the Beis Hamikdash is going to be destroyed, it was really bad. So the question that's asked by the Gemara is, why did they go to Huldah? They should have gone to Yirmiyah. You can't go to a secondary Navi. You can only go to the first-rate Navi. You're not even allowed to get a Nevuah from a secondary Navi. You have to go to the top-rate Navi first, ask him for pshat, and if he tells you, great, and if not, if he gives you permission, you can go to somebody else. But they went straight to Huldah. Why were they allowed to do so? And the Gemara answers, maybe Yirmiyah was out of town, or Huldah was a niece of Yirmiyah, and therefore Yirmiyah wasn't makbid that Huldah was prophesying, because they were related to one another. But there are answers from the Gemara. So over here, Yoshua looked at Moshe Rabbeinu and said, he has no permission. Eldad and Medad, they don't have permission to say anything. They're not allowed to say anything. They're in the middle of nowhere. You're the Rebbe. They're not allowed to do anything. That was the problem, says the Ramban. And for that reason, they had to be killed. For speaking out in front of their Rebbe when they shouldn't have, and there was no reason for it, they were supposed to be killed. That was the idea behind it. There's a bunch of others. There's a Dasa Kanim and a Rush who think that Eldon Amated must have been speaking from devils and from demons, etc. There's no way that could be true. There's a Panach Raza that he thought that they might be lying. The Shach says maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved himself over here. Maybe there was something over here. But this was a terrible sin on the part of Yoshua. Yoshua getting up and suggesting to Moshe Rabbeinu what to do. Do you do that? Do you go up to your boss? Your boss is sitting there and you're like, boss, this is what you should do. It's not a good move. It's not a good move for anybody, let alone for Yoshua to say it to Moshe Rabbeinu. What do you think? Moshe Rabbeinu is just shocked. He's sitting there and hearing the Nevuah and he doesn't have anything to say. Yoshua gets up and he's like, Moshe Rabbeinu, I got a great idea. Claim. Whatever he meant. Whether it's put them in jail or get rid of their Nevuah somehow or kill them. Don't do that in front of your Rebbe. Don't do that in front of your Rebbe. Don't speak out in front of other people. We know what the halacha is. What's the halacha if mora halacha bifnei rabo? You allowed to paskin halacha in front of your Rebbe? You allowed to get up in front of your Rebbe and paskin halacha? No, of course not. You can't say something like that. And this is beyond mora halacha. This is paskining a shaila, a real shaila in front of the Rebbe of not just stam mora halacha of is this kosher or not kosher. He's chayiv misa, Yoshua was saying. He's chayiv to be thrown in jail. He's paskin out a choshen mishpat shaila in front of his Rebbe without a beis din. How could Yoshua do that? Why was that allowed? How was that allowed? Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, you're 100% right. It was a chait. It was a chait. It was wrong. And he should be punished for it. But he had a reason for it. There was a reason. The idea the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says is that there's no way he could lead the people into Eretz Yisrael. Yoshua was heavily involved here. What did they say, Eldon Amedad? Moshe's going to die. Yoshua's going to lead them into Eretz Yisrael. Where do you think all the eyes of the people went when they heard that Nevuah? When the people heard that Nevuah, Moshe's going to die. Yoshua's going to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. What did they look at? What did they do? They went straight to Yoshua. They looked at Yoshua and they said, really? You? This guy? Yoshua wasn't known yet. Wasn't known. They knew he was the Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. They knew he's the guy that cleaned up the Beis Medrash. But that's all they knew. They didn't know anything else. So they looked at him and they said, you're going to be the person over here? Nobody assumed that this was going to happen. Yoshua himself was like, me? There's Kalev. Nachshon ben Aminadav is alive. Hur is alive. Aaron is alive. Elazar and Itamar. Nadav and Avihu are still alive. Oh, maybe not at this point. Were Nadav and Avihu still alive at this point? No, probably not. None of you were dead because I was already after the eighth day, right? But even so, they're looking around. All these things are happening, and all these other people are there. So they looked at them and said, Zohar wouldn't have been alive either. But he said, all these other people, why didn't you ask any of them? Yoshua was involved, so he looked at Moshe Rabbeinu and said, I did not put them up to this. Klaim, Moshe, I'm not on their side. I'm not with them. So he wasn't trying to paskin. What was he trying to do? He's trying to show Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm not here. This is not me. This was them. This is not me at all. And although his intentions were correct, he wasn't right in what he did. That's not the way to act in this type of a situation. In this type of a situation, you let Moshe Rabbeinu make the decision. This is not a time where you get up and you tell your Rebbe, I think this is what should happen over here. So he got up and he said, Adoni Moshe, my master Moshe, as if to say, I'm nobody. I'm a nothing. I'm a little Eved. You're the master, Moshe Rabbeinu. You make the decision. I think you should destroy them. But because he even suggested something, even because he wanted to take the blame off himself, nonetheless, that was not the right thing to do. He should not have done it. The Chidah, even then, doesn't understand what was wrong with it. The Chidah questions it all the way through and gives a whole idea that goes through over here. There's a Panach Raza that goes through it that also asks about it. There's a Moshe Zekanim that asks about this as well. And the Yalku Gershuni as well. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, I don't understand why you can't have an opinion. Meaning he was
you can.
Involved. I mean, he was involved.
You can. Let him say it first.
They dragged him into it.
Yeah, 100%.
So
you can.
They dragged him into it.
You definitely can. Let Moshe speak it out first. If Moshe says it first and then you say, no, Moshe, I think that's too light. Kill them. Then it's okay. You can even argue. You can get into an argument with your Rebbe. But when the Shaila comes in, you don't suggest the answer first. Let the Rebbe answer first. It would be like, I was on a Beis Din once. Like, this is not with Rabbi First. Rabbi First called me in to go do something. You can imagine, this is not a Choshen Mishpat Shaila. I can't do Choshen Mishpat, okay? But I was on this Beis Din sitting together with Rabbi First. Can you imagine, like, the guy says something, and I'm just like, I think it's Mutter. I was speaking in front of Rabbi First. You know, the Rebbe of the city, I'm not going to do that. You obviously, you sit back, you let Rabbi First say what he has to say, and then if he wants to discuss something with you, if he's no-saving with you, and he says, like, what do you think of this Gemara, etc., then you answer back, and you say, like, well, I kind of thought like this. I kind of went this way. That's when you answer back. But you don't suggest something first, Mati.
Aren't you supposed to go from, like, lowest to highest?
Very, very good. It is maschil amina katan when you're trying to find the innocence for somebody. You're trying to find some way. But that doesn't work here because Yeshua said immediately, guilty. You know what I'm saying?
What you said when I first spoke first, or if you had just...
And normally, if you're dealing with a real base and you're dealing with Sanhedrin, then normally you wait for the highest one usually goes last after everybody else, but that's when he gives permission for the others to go first because we know it's going to end with him. So you're right. That's 100% true. But obviously, I'm not going to speak up. If somebody says to me, or if he says to me, what do you think before he says something, then I'll say what I think. But again, I'm not starting the conversation thinking, I'm not audacious enough, and I've got Azus. But I'm not audacious enough to be able to do it. No, were you going to ask the same thing?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, same exact thing. That's the idea behind it. The Kedushas Levi says something awesome over here. He says, there's an ability for tzaddikim to be mevatel unbelievably terribly, terrible gezeiros, as long as they haven't been written down yet. They can't be written down. If it's written down, then something has to be done to be mekayim the nevuah. The nevuah has to be done in some way. When Yonah came along and said that the ear of Nineveh was going to be nehafeches, it was going to be destroyed. So it had to be accomplished in some way, shape, or form. So it did. Nehafeches was accomplished because the city of Nineveh turned around and did tshuva. They overturned the city, not literally, meaning it wasn't destroyed, but the whole city overturned itself. But if there's a nevuah, somehow that nevuah has to be miskayim. And that was the big problem over here, says the Kedushas Levi. Over here, it seems to be that there has to be a way to be mevatel it. So Yeshua said, I have a way of being mevatel it. Destroy them, make them look like nevi'ei sheker, and then the nevuah isn't real. Right? You don't have to worry about the nevuah, to which Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, there's only one way to be mevatel it. Lou, if only all of Bnei Yisrael could be Nevi'im, if only all of Bnei Yisrael could do this, then we'd be able to be mevatel the Nevuah. But until that point, there's no way for us to do it. He knew that was the only way. And that's exactly the wording of Moshe Rabbeinu, saying there's only one way for it to go. The Chasam Sofer says that as well, and the parties Yosef brings down, they even had shailas on whether this is a good Nevuah or a bad Nevuah. Because on the one hand, it's a good Nevuah, isn't it? What's the good Nevuah? Because, well, they're going to go to Eretz Yisrael through Yoshua. That's a great thing for Yoshua, but it's a bad Nevuah because Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die. Good Nevuahs have to come true. Bad Nevuahs do not have to come true. So now you got a real problem. You got Yoshua leading them at Eretz Yisrael. You got Moshe Rabbeinu dying. So you know what Yoshua did, says the Pardes Yosef? He purposely turned it into a bad Nevuah. You know how he did it? He made it into a punishment for himself by saying Kla'im and being Mor Halacha B'fnei Rava, which means the Nevuah now was a terrible thing for him and a terrible thing for Moshe Rabbeinu. Now it could change. Now it could change into something good.
It's good for Bnei Yisrael.
See, that's the problem. It's always going to be good for Bnei Yisrael, whether Yoshua takes them or Moshe takes them.
Right.
So that's not going to change. That's fine. But it's not a good nevuah for Yoshua. So he's able to be mahapich his own nevuah, so it's not good for him, and then it can change that they both can lead them into Eretz Yisrael. Maybe they could do that. That's the idea behind it. One thing that I'm not going to go into today because we don't have that much time, Mibachurav is very, very strange. The fact that he was called from the young men around them, Targum Onkelos translates it one way, the Ibn Ezra says another way, he then connects it to the word Misharis Moshe, and the Chasam Sofer says, crazily enough, that Yoshua was a student from his youth of Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't know how that's possible. Yoshua was around. He died at the age of 110, 24 years after Moshe Rabbeinu died at the age of 120. Okay, 24 years, which means, give or take, right, he's how many years, right? If he died at 110, 24 years after Moshe Rabbeinu died at 120, around 34 years younger. Good. 34 years younger. So you're dealing with 120, 34 years younger. So how much is that? 86, right? He's 86 years old at the time. He was a student of Moshe Rabbeinu when Moshe Rabbeinu was younger. How is that possible? Moshe Rabbeinu just joined Klal Yisrael. He was 86. So that means when they went into Eretz Yisrael, according to this pshat, that means that when Moshe Rabbeinu was 80, so he was 34 years younger, right? So how many years is that? 80 minus 34. You can do this. I believe in you. 36, right? He's 36 years old, right? Altogether?
80 minus
34. 46. 46 altogether, right? You got it wrong. 46 altogether, right? 46 years altogether. He's 46 years old. Would you call that your youth? I'm not 40 yet. right? Because I'm not glowing because I'm not learning Kabbalah yet. So clearly I'm not 40, right? So 46, you're going to call that? He learned when he was younger from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's weird, isn't it? It's a lot of real questions that deal with that. But either way, that's a very, very strange line. The Misharis Moshe, that he was chosen, right? Why he was chosen and of that, it's strange, says the Vilna Gaon. He's called the Misharis Moshe because the reason he was chosen was not because of his erudition, his ability to learn. That's not why he was chosen as the servant of Moshe, to be the next leader of Klal Yisrael. You know why he was chosen? Because he was the Misharis of Moshe. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu needed something, Yeshua was always there. You need a drink of water? I got it for you. You need something to eat? I got it for you. You need a bowl? I got it for you. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu needed, Yeshua did. Which meant he was the true attendant of Moshe Rabbeinu. And for that, he deserves to be the next leader of Klal Yisrael. Not because he's smarter, not because he knows more necessarily. Othniel ben Kenaz may have been a bigger Talmud Chacham than he. Kaleb ben Yefuna could have been a bigger Talmud Chacham than he. But he was a Misharis. And for that he was chosen, says the Vilna Gaon. Which means you're there all the time. And I think I understand that very simply. Simply put, when you're around a Rebbe a lot, you learn a ton just from how he acts toward other people, and you hear shilas. Later on, you can repeat something that happened to the Rebbe because you were there. You were there at the time. You saw it happen. You're going to remember that a lot more than just reading it in a sefer. There's a way that your memory is jogged just by seeing a maisa, seeing something like that happen. For that reason, a misharis is always better than somebody who's, I don't mean to just say this, but somebody who's only sitting and learning. You can't just sit and learn. You have to get out and do things as well. And I think it's true in any trade. You can imagine if you just learned from a doctor how to do a certain surgery because you heard it in a class that he gave, but you never actually went to do surgery with the doctor, there's no way you're as good as the guy who never went to a single class, but went to every single surgery and saw what the doctor was doing every single time. For sure, that guy is going to get more out of it. He's reading on his own, and he's with the doctor the whole time, as opposed to the guy who's just hearing what the doctor says, what he's lecturing about. There's just a difference. I think that's the same way over here. There is a Torah more here. That was part of the issue. We should have been a bigger Anav, but that's something else. Our last thing that we want to go to, which is really a cool idea. Moshe Zakenim asks, how in the world could Yeshua call his Rebbe by his first name? Look what he said. Three words, right? Adoni Moshe Klaim. My master, Moshe. Destroy them. You allowed to do that? You allowed to call your Rebbe by his first name? Can you do that? So the Moshe of Zakenim asks the question, says, how could you do it? Gehazi said Elisha's name. In Sanhedrin Kufam and Aleph, it says he said Elisha's name, and he was punished for it. He lost his chilek in Olam Haba because he called his Rebbe by his name. And yet Yeshua does it right over here. And he blibes Sarachim. He says, I don't know. I don't have an answer to the question.
But yeah. Say
hold on. Oh, wait, hold on. Yeah?
Yeah, don't
Adoni.
Call,
right, Adoni.
Their, like,
very good. So hold on. So right there, the Tosefis Bracha says right there that Rashi says it would be fine. Rashi in Sanhedrin says it's fine to say Rebbe Ploni. So in other words, for me, right, my name is Tzvi, so one of my Talmidim would be able to say Reb Tzvi. They'd be able to do that. After all, I had a Rebbe in Yeshiva, and everybody called him Reb Asher Arieli. They called him Reb Asher. When people ask me what shir was in, I don't say Rebbe Arieli's shir. I was in Reb Asher's shir for 4 years. That's what I say. I say I'm about Reb Asher. But that's the difference.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Very good. Hold on. So that's it. Maybe it's true, right? And that's what Yeshua meant. He said Adoni Moshe. And that's when it's okay to say your Rebbe's name when you say the word Adoni before. But there's a problem. The Shach and Yoredeisim and Reish Membeis, the Shach holds that it's only mutter to say your father's name with something before it if he's not there. Because again, I would never say to my Rebbe, Reb Asher, in front of his face, I would call him a Rav or Rebbe. I would never say his actual first name in front of him. I would never do that. Well, what kind of a person does that? If Sonny came up to me and said to him, if he's a Talmud Chaver of mine, he's my age or somebody around me, and he said Reb Tzvi, I would be like, of course, yeah, that's not a problem. But like, one of you guys, if you did that, I would punch you in the face. Like, what are you doing? You're not calling me my first name. I don't care if you said, Harav HaGoyin Rebbe Tzvi. I'd be like, get out of here. You can't do that. Right? That's ridiculous. And that's what the Shach is saying. You wouldn't do such a thing. Now, Rebbe Kiva Eger and Pri Chodosh ask on the Shach from right here. They say, what about this pasuk? It says Adoni Moshe. So clearly, Yeshua did it. So how could the Shach say you can't do it in front of his face? How could he say that? It's right here. So the Torah Tumima says, it sounds like it's only forbidden if you're trying to make it seem like you're one of my Rebbeim and I have another Rebbe. When you're saying like, you're my Reb Tzvi, but I have another Rebbe whose name is Reb Moshe. You get it? Like, that's a problem. If you make it sound like you have somebody else and you're dissing your Rebbe when you say it, you're saying it in a bad way to your own Rebbe, that's how the Torah Tumima says it. Over here, since Moshe Rabbeinu was the only Rebbe at the time, although there is a Gemara in Erev and Daf Nun Dalet says that Aaron and another one of you were the Rebbeim of everybody as well, but let's assume that Moshe Rabbeinu was the only Rebbe around. Therefore, you could say, Adoni Moshe, Rebbe Moshe, and that was okay. And there was no problem whatsoever. In fact, there's even an issue of saying, how we say it all the time, Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is that okay? Why are we okay with that?
He's not around.
He's not around, so we're okay. But why don't we call him Rabbeinu Moshe?
We all have
strange. There is a shot behind that. I don't want to go through it right now. There is a Torah Tumima on that as well. But it's a really, really strange thing. There may be a proof to this. It might be straight out. The proof might be in Brachos Daf Dalet and Aleph. David HaMelech is going through. He would always discuss his dinim with his Rebbe. Who was his Rebbe? Now, David HaMelech had three Rebbeim in his lifetime. Achitofel, who was not really his Rebbe. He just learned two things from him, so he called him his Rebbe. Right? Do you remember him? Ira Haya Iri. Iri was his actual Rebbe, and Mephibosheth. Now, when it, I'm sorry? Doeg Edom was never his Rebbe. He was the servant of Shaul HaMelech and his Av Beis Din, but he was never a Rebbe of Moshe, David HaMelech. In fact, he tried to kill him. Their names are the same gematria as well. Achitofel. You think of Achitofel. Yeah, Achitofel. That it already has. But this, so Mephibosheth, here's what the Gemara says in Daf Dalet. Every time I had something come in front of me, he was praising himself. He's saying, Hashem, this is what I used to do. I used to go to Mephibosheth Rebbe. And I said, Mephibosheth Rebbe, Yafa Danti, Yafa Chiyavti, Yafa Zachisi. He would say that, Mephibosheth Rebbe. You see, he said the word Rebbe with the name Mephibosheth, right? And even said it afterward. And it sounds like he was talking to Mephibosheth himself, right? In front of his face. So it sounds like the Shach. Like Rebbe Kivigar, the Pre-Chadosh, that you can even call your Rebbe Adoni Moshe to his face, Reb Tzvi to his face, Mephibosheth Rebbe right to his face. That's what it sounds like. But there's a difference. Did you know that Mephibosheth is not really his name? Mephibosheth was not the actual name. Mephibosheth was named that way because from his mouth came embarrassing words to David HaMelech, because David HaMelech was embarrassed in the amount of Torah that Mephibosheth had. But the Gemara puts right after that, where it says, Mephibosheth's Rebbe, did I judge it well? The Gemara says right after that, and by the way, Mephibosheth wasn't his real name. What does that show you? That you can't do it. Because Mephibosheth is only allowed, he was only allowed to say the word because it wasn't his Rebbe's actual name. That's the only reason why it was allowed. Had it been his actual name, he wouldn't be able to do it. So therefore, you wouldn't be allowed. Sounds like maybe a raya to the Shach itself. I'm sorry?
What was his name, like Bob?
I don't remember if it's Ishbosheth or Ishbal, and I think it's a change in gear, so in the Gemara right there. Ishbosheth and Baal. Ishbal. Ishbosheth is the other son of Shaul HaMelech also. He ended up becoming the king. But I don't remember if it's Ishbosheth or Ishbal, something like that. Yeah. I'm sorry? Like Avigdor, Avisocho, Yekusiel, Tov, Tovia, whatever it is, all those other names of Moshe Rabbeinu. Those are interesting, but I mean, why don't we just deal with Moshe Rabbeinu itself, right? I mean, it's a little bit strange. The Parshas Drachim, by the way, says also, as long as you say a Toar, the description in front of the name itself, then it's going to be okay. So too, Adoni Moshe is going to be okay, similar to what the Torah Tumima said over there. But I have an opinion over here, and I'm sure this is somewhere, and all I need is somebody to find it for me, so somebody just has to find it out. I'm pretty sure that this is the simplest answer out there. I can't even imagine that there's another answer. Did anybody, when we were talking about Yoshua, did anybody say Rebbe Yoshua? Does anybody call him Rebbe Yoshua ever? Do you ever call him Yoshua Rebbe? Yoshua Rabbeinu? Even Moshe. Like, we'll say Moshe all the time. Sometimes Moshe Rabbeinu, sometimes not, right? Yaakov? We say like Yaakov, Avram, Yitzchak, David, right? We have Gedolei Hador, who if they were alive right now, do you think you would go up to them and be like, hey, Abe, looks like you're doing well. Are you going to go up to them? Of course not. Chas v'shalom, you would never say that to Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, to David, to Moshe, to Yoshua. You would never do that, right? I think there might be a difference. And it's different from where, the way it is now to what it was back then. Hillel and Shammai, Shmaya and Avtalion. Yudah ben Tabai, Shim ben Shetach, Yosef ben Yoezer, Yosef ben Yochanan, the Zugos that we have right before the times of the Tanaim. There is no Rebbe in front of their name. Because at some point, their name became so chashuv, it was like the name itself held the title of Rebbe. It was like you didn't call your kid Moshe because you were scared to because Moshe Rabbeinu was so awesome. You just couldn't call your kid Moshe. Nobody named their kids Moshe. They couldn't do it. That's why you don't find a Moshe anywhere for thousands of years. Almost 1,600 years you don't find a Moshe anywhere. It's crazy. Because there was no Moshe. You didn't want to call your kid Moshe. In the Gemara in Shavuos, the word Moshe means I swear. If you say the word Moshe, it means I swear that this is true. In the Gemara, you'll see the words Moshe, Shapir Kamarta. Moshe, I swear you said the greatest thing in the world. Right? That's what it says in the Gemara. The word Moshe became a name that no longer needed the word Rebbe in front of it. It was awesome in and of itself. Same thing with Yoshua. Same thing with Hillel and Shammai. Same thing with Shammai and Naphtali. Ishmael and Naphtali. At some point, that stopped. And probably right after Hillel and Shammai, when Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai came along, they started calling people Rebbe Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rebbe Yoshua, Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Akiva, Rebbe Meir, right? Then you went into the Rebbes in front of the names themselves. But at one point, it was this way, where you just called them by the name, and that was the Chashivus, because they made the name into something awesome. And maybe it was in the times where everybody named their kids something different based on what their goal was. People didn't have equal names. They didn't have the same names. In times of Navi, maybe there were two, three, four, five people, we don't know this, that had the same name at the time. But a Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need an accolade. And maybe that's why Yoshua was able to do it. Normally, you're not allowed to say, Adoni Moshe, in front of his face. Normally, you're not allowed to say Rebbe, whatever it is. But at the time, because Moshe's name was so special, nobody would treat it with disrespect. When you called him Moshe, you were calling him the greatest name in the world. And therefore, there was no problem with saying it even in front of his face. We couldn't do it nowadays because we have that idea of Rebbe. That's the way we do things. But at the time, it may very well be the most chashuv thing you could do was call the Rebbe by his actual name, by saying it right there. And therefore, Adoni Moshe is no different from everything else. The Sefer HaChassidim brings a very similar idea in that Tzavos, in his will, when he goes through the ideas of names that don't exist anymore, it just seems like that. I think it's got to be obvious. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to say Moshe at all, or Yoshua, or David, or anything. We'd have to have an accolade with it, and we don't. It shows you there's something there. There's something that the name had that made it so very special. We'll stop with this, guys. Have a great Shabbos.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.